Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another Coach and Coordinator Podcast. Today we have part two of our deep dive on defense with Mark Duda, the head coach and defensive line coach at Lackawanna College. Duda has been coaching for 25 years and has been named Northeast Football Conference Coach of the Year on four different occasions and is currently the leader among active coaches in the NJCAA in wins and 12th all time. As usual, make sure to have your notepad ready and let's send it over to Coach Vass for part two of this deep dive on defense.
Now, if you're going to run a combo TEET game at the same time, let's say it's a 10 personnel look. So you've got just the back to the defensive left. And let's say we're doing this at an over. So we're in a G or a shade, it doesn't matter. Say nose in the gap. You've got a 1 and a 5 to one side, or a G and a 5 to one side, a 3 and a 5 to the other. And you're going to run TE to the 3 technique side. You're going to run ET to the 1 technique side. Would you you want to run the back, or do you want to put the TE to the back and the ET away? Or how would you want to do that?
If you had your druthers, it would be, well, if it was to the back, then it wouldn't be slide. It would be friggin' man pro. We think man pro, right? So if that's the case, then you're going to run a TE with a pick to that side. So to the back, it's a pick. Away from the back, it's a pull. Does that make sense?
Right.
To the running back, I see a back, I'm going to TE pick. If it's going to be away from the back, it's going to be an ET pull because I have a zone protection I'm looking at. I'm looking at a zone protection to that side. You know what I mean? I know it sounds kind of bizarre, but if you think about it, we run them two different ways. We find the back. Now, here's what a coach is going to say next, coach, if not to mesh up. They're going to go pistol, right? Right. They're going to put the back in the middle, right? They're going to put the back behind the quarter. Except for one thing. That just made every one of my players 2/10 faster on the rush. Because now you're not splitting the crotch of the guard. Now you're head up, so you're 5 feet away from where you normally would be. Which means my edge rusher who comes off on the edge, even a linebacker goes over the top, you are 5 feet further from your contact point than you're going to be if you go pistol. So you better have a better athlete than me because you just made mine faster. Okay? You just made mine faster. What Coach Bardini does, because Coach Bardini is smart, is he takes his back and he moves him across the formation. So he moves him. So his slide will be opposite. So he'll take the back, he'll be lined up to the left, he'll motion to the right, and then he'll slide it that way. So he causes me tremendous headaches. Okay, because he makes that back isn't a good indicator. Now I gotta look at boundary and field and formations to figure out where the protections are gonna be. Right. So moving that back around makes life a lot more difficult on most football teams when they're a game type of football team. But there are other ways to tell, obviously. You know this more than most people do there. You guys all out there have a tackle who is a zone-protecting guy because he's not very mobile and athletic, and you have a man guy. If you have two man tackles, you know what? I'm going to recruit him. It's Coach Duda, D-U-D-A, at Lackawanna.edu. Okay, if you have two of those guys, okay, you have two guys who can man protect 5 techniques, I want to hear from you, okay? But if you have one, then he's going to be a slide guy, right, Coach? He's going to be the slide guy because you only want him handling one gap. And so we find out that big, heavy-set kid who maybe doesn't have the feet, and we know that's where they're sliding to help him. We know the backside is either going to be a bob side or it's going to be a full slide. And a full slide, Coach, is a danger to a good offense because now I have a back against the defensive end.
Right.
And I like having backs against defensive ends. It's basically great for the defensive end. So if you're going to full slide that thing, that running back better be a card-carrying tough guy because he's going to be working against a weak side defensive end who can really rush the passer. He's going to pass block 10% of the time, and the passer is going to rush all the time. So, you know, I mean, that's what chases people out of full slide.
Right.
Right, full gap. It chases them out.
Coach, this has been a lot of great information. I'm furiously scribbling right now. Take me through some of your other favorite pass rush games that you like. And it could be four-man, two-man, three-man. I don't really care. Just as long as when you give us the answer, if you could inform the coaches when you like these.
Sure, absolutely. If you're a four-man guy, let's just say you're an over-under team, okay, the four-man guy. Depends what type of passes you're getting. Are you getting drop-back stuff in the pocket, all kind of gun stuff? You know, I like a whole bunch of – I like three-man games. I like them a whole lot, especially, like, once again, it's a man side, so the side of the protection that's the man, because there's going to be a mismatch. We're probably going to get it back on somebody. I like a couple. Now, we call them all kind of different things, Coach, so I'll just say where the guys go as opposed to calling them, okay? And that way it'll be a little bit easier. So let's look at open front, okay? So so we're strong left. So we have a five technique to the left, a three technique to the left, and a zero to the left, okay? So a zero or a one makes no difference. The backside's a five technique, okay? So this would be a game to the three-man side. Here's what we like. We like a couple different things, but we used to call Baltimore, but we'll bring the three technique down, the five technique down, and the nose tackle, okay, will be a looper. He'll be the loop around guy. Okay, so he'll be the outside contain. I hate the word. He'll be the guy and make sure the quarterback doesn't run out of bounds, okay? He'll be the run out of bounds guy. Okay, so for us, it's a three-man game. But who do you want to beat in the three-man game is the biggest question, okay? So if it's the man side, and you want to beat, you know, you want to take that tackle and run him down with the D end and make it a tight corner. You want to make it a nice tight corner. Then there are no steps. There are no two steps. There are no jukes. It's a right now. It's called a now game, N-O-W, now, because we run it right now. So we take that five technique. He would take his inside foot, his right foot, and he would go as hard as he could into the B gap as fast as he could go. All right, the three technique would go as fast as you could in the A gap, as fast as you could go. Then our nose tackle wouldn't even set the center, so he wouldn't opposite club the center. He would go right now, and he would try to beat that. He would try to win the edge, and we'll try to condense that edge, make it as small as we possibly can with man protectors. That works because they have to go with you. And we would run around that corner hoping that the running back was still standing there. In Bob protection, because we love nose tackles versus running backs. Okay, we think that is like having Sunday every day of the week, because I got a guy who doesn't want to protect against a guy who wants to rush, right?
Another one for the book, Coach. I'm writing these down.
There you go,
and if you
buddy.
Don't write this book, I'm writing it. I'm taking all the credit, and I'm going to delete this podcast from existence.
Oh, my friend, we got to delete it. So I got a nose tackle who the biggest thing in his life, right, besides Christmas Day, is to sack the quarterback. And I got a running back who wants to block nobody in pass pro, and that's what I'm looking for, as many of those situations as I could possibly get. Okay, so that's a three-man game, a Baltimore game, a game where we're trying to get ourselves, our nose tackle, to loop around, preferably to the boundary, Coach, not to the field, because we know in a foot race, most quarterbacks are going to beat nose tackles, so we want to make it a short race. Okay, so I'm looking at trying to get myself on a hash mark to where if I'm to the boundary and a quarterback beats me outside, I'm in hot pursuit, he runs out of field and he can't survey the field. If I go to the field, what I got is a nose tackle and a trail position on the quarterback, who now all of a sudden has two or three receivers in that 36 yards in the open area, and now he throws it and beats me. So I want to make sure I make my nose tackle faster by making the boundary his friend. Okay, yeah. That's why it's a boundary stunt for me.
Yeah, okay, when we ran this stunt a couple years ago. We played an air raid team, and we knew that they weren't going to run the ball very much, and so the kids were just getting bored during the week, just because, you know, you're doing the same drill. Oh, so yeah. I said, we're going to install every stunt I've ever learned. I think we put in 25 stunts. We didn't put them in. We ran a lot of them through the years, but we didn't run any three-man games really, and so we put three-man games where you're going out, around with the end. This one you just described, and to your point, we only ran this one into the boundary. Into the boundary. Smart. I'm sorry. The nose is looping into the boundary, so I'm glad to hear you say that, because I did it, and I thought, am I being a wuss by doing this? Well, especially in high school, because the hashes are wider. So you talk about not wanting to defend the field in college. I don't want to defend the field in high school. So I'm with you.
Yeah, the nose tackle weighs, if the nose tackle is 250 and runs 5'3", uh-huh. and the quarterback's 180 and runs 5'0 or 4'9, and you put him to the field in a high school game with 36 yards, basically, and you're saying, well, at 36 yards, he's going to outrun that nose tackle by 5 or 6 yards in the 36-yard dash. Why would you have a quarterback that'll set his feet and throw? If you go to the boundary, then you're looking at him having one-third the distance, basically, in high school football. And so he's going to stay in the first 20 yards. The nose tackle is going to be in hot pursuit in a 20-yard dash of a quarterback. So if you just use physics and be smart about it, or math, realizing that that's going to be a better position for that kid to put pressure on the quarterback. So
right.
That's not being a wuss. That's being intelligent.
Well, and if you're a high school coach and you can do goofy stuff and not worry about getting fired as much, for this game, because we used a lot of different looks, we had flipped our guy. We did a lot of different things that game, just because I wanted the kids to have some fun and learn that stuff. And so we ran it proper, and then we ran it where the inside guys, the defensive tackles, became the ends, and we put the ends as the nose. And so we had our quickest end play nose, and we tilted him to the side that he was going. So, but we ran it once or twice.
That's
and
cool.
So you would never, and we were never going to do it again. So we were able to cheat our faces off and not worry about it.
So for that one for me, you know, so you run it that way, then you run it opposite. Of course you run the three technique, which is a little bit different. The three technique goes outside the B gap, but he spins the flat. What I mean by that is, if the protection ends up being a slide protection toward him and the tackle engages him, the OT, now this is the three technique. What he does is he hits the OT, pushes on, and spins outside to the flat. He gets outside to the flat because he's the contained rusher. The nose tackle, right, if you think about how that was going to work, so it's going to be opposite. The nose tackle is going to hit the A gap as hard as he can, and we're going to loop the defensive end underneath. And he'll loop that A gap opposite. And so that'll be, for us, that's just a reverse Baltimore, right? That's the opposite Baltimore. But we have to spin the flat. Our three technique has to get to the OT and work him, and then spin outside into the flat, because we know the heat's going to come from the defensive end in the A gap, and the quarterback's going to roll to him. So we have to be waiting for him. We can't be underneath him or behind him. We have to get out in front of him. So when the defensive end wins, which we want him to win, then we know the quarterback's going to run to our three technique, who's going to be outside the OT, who cannot pin him. Okay? Spin to flat. And we make him spin the flat. We make him hit the OT and spin outside. We force him to. And that gets him outside the perimeter of the OT and allows us to have a two-man rush in all essence. We have a end running up the A gap who will loop two guys, and we have a three technique outside of the most outside player. So that gives us a little more leverage as far as that one goes, if that one makes any sense. The one we do some of, this is pretty cool, we call it a yipsy. It's a four-man game. You can call it anything you want. But what it is both defensive ends are both going to slant inside right now. They're both going B-gap, right? The three technique, okay, is going to go around the nose tackle, okay, around nose tackle, and he's going to work outside the edge of the slanting OT. And the nose tackle, he is going to go skinny. He's going first. He's going to go skinny, right, the other direction, and he's going to work off the other defensive end, if you can picture that thing in your head. That's a hard one to picture.
Oh, yeah, we run this. We ran this that same week. We called it a big twist.
Oh, you got to love it. Now, to the man side of it, right, because we always predicate it, the man side of it, our defensive end, is going to literally just run as hard as he can in the gap, because he knows the tackle is going to condense it, right? Like we call it an accordion, but the kids don't know what accordions are anymore. But we're going to condense it. We're going to make it smaller. All right, to the zone side, right, this is one of those sides that we are going to pull the OT. Okay, we're going to slow the OT, okay, so that our nose tackle can get around them. So what will happen is we'll try to take him in a bull rush. We don't pull him, like we don't rip our arms around him and pull him. We bull rush him, so he sits down and takes us on, and he kind of pulls himself, right? Pull people, Coach, we pull them out of bull rushes. We don't pull people out of the framework of our body because, A, it's illegal, and, B, you have no leverage to do it. If you pull on a donkey, he sits down, right? So we don't want to pull on these big donkeys. We want to lead the donkeys, right?
Right.
And these guys are like big old 300-pound donkeys, so we try to lead them. And that's our Yipsy. That's a four-man game. Now, we did a whole bunch of stuff when we're in our 3-4 look with our five technique and our outside linebacker. And we've done a whole bunch of games. Here's my only coaching point on games. When I'm second-level games, first-level and second-level players running games or stunts, I want my looper or my backer in the shadow of the defensive lineman as long as he can possibly be there. Okay? As long as he can be there. And this is a huge mistake that, in my view, that people make and we've made over the past. If I'm going to run a defensive end and an outside linebacker in a game where I run the defensive lineman straight up the field and the backer underneath, I am going to keep the linebacker in the shadow of the defensive lineman until I can't possibly keep him there anymore, and then he's going to try to win on the offensive guard underneath in a B gap. The worst thing to do on any kind of game, they have to stay in their shadow, coach. They have to stay in their shadow. There should be one guy rushing. It should look like one guy. Now, if you're really into those things, and I know a lot of people are great coaches out there, you should time the steps. So you should take that backer who you stack behind that defensive end, get his inside foot back, and go 1-2-3, right? 1-2-3. Inside, right? In this case, it'd be 4. Inside, outside, inside, and back. So you should create the same steps over and over during your walkthroughs so that he stays in the shadow as long as possible and then appears to the guard late. That late appearance to the guard is going to get the guard either turned or late with his hands. So any kind of chop, rip, lean, any kind of technique on that guard is going to be a winning technique because of the fact that he's staying and can go either direction. Okay, so that's really, really important. If you're going to run games with second-level players.
Right.
Okay, we run a whole bunch of pick stuff with our guys. I'll talk about one or two of them where our nose tackle literally holds on to the center, picks him, and our backer, our middle backer hits him, and then we loop back around him. Okay? That's a pick game. So here's my favorite one. So let's watch this one. Now that we're in a 3-3 defense, whatever defense you want to be in. And we're going to use our nose tackle and our linebacker as our two rushers. Our Mike linebacker is going to create the fourth rusher, okay? And you know the cardinal sin on any of these inside games, coach, is no defensive end can come underneath no matter how big the window. Because yep. If they come underneath, that's a rule. It's a cardinal sin. That will sit you on the bench next to me as fast as is humanly possible. So if I see a defensive end come underneath on any inside game, he is automatically riding pine. There's no, he doesn't even talk. He just walks out and sits down because we are not going to get outdistanced by a quarterback because of stupidity. Athletic ability, maybe. Stupidity, no. Right? So we're not going to do that. So here's our pick. So I'm going to take my nose tackle and he is going to rush the right A gap. Okay? But he's only going to use one hand. He's only going to use his right hand. He is not going to extend his left hand whatsoever. He is just going to grab the shoulder of the center and not work the other hand. Because my backer is going to come and absolutely positively pick and obliterate this center and work back in the gap where the nose came. But here's the nuance, the point to it, coach. If the back is to the looper, he is going to work around the offensive guard because the guard is going to go with the backer to the A gap. Okay, I'll say it again. If the linebacker is going to the A gap and the back is to the side of the backer that's puts on this pick game. All right. My nose tackle is going to loop around the guard because the guard is going to take that Mike linebacker in that A gap.
Uh-huh.
Okay. That's going to be his angle of departure. He is not going to depart any flatter than that because he knows it's a man protection scheme. Okay.
Makes sense.
If it's a zone protection scheme, this gets kind of cool, coach. If you like football, you like this one. If it's a zone to that side, in other words, if the center is going to step toward the Mike linebacker because he's the A-gap player toward him, what's going to happen is our nose tackle is going to try to get as much of the center as he can, right? And as he hits him, he's going to loop off underneath the guard. Because the guard is a B-gap player and will not come back inside if he's well coached for that looping nose. Because he will say, the center has the right. The center has the linebacker. The opposite guard has the nose, who's out of his sight right now, and he's going to work, look for work in the B gap, and I am going to run that nose tackle right underneath the zone offensive guard. Can you picture that one?
I know you can.
So that is really cool. There's a huge difference between the two things I just said. Okay, so to the man side, the guard is going to come down with the Mike linebacker. You agree, right? Because he's going to come right now. He's going to come down with him.
Yes.
So he's going to take him. When he takes him, my nose tackle is coming right off of – he's going around the guard in the B gap between the guard and the tackle, and he's going to work straight up the field. But if it's zone to him, gap protection to him, my Mike linebacker, okay, is going to pick that center – and my nose tackle is coming right off his tail in the A gap, not the B gap, because the guard is going to work B gap because he's a slide protector.
Right.
And we read it, Coach. We read it every single time. We read the back of the protection, and that changes the angle of departure of our nose. Coaching point, if he's going to his right A gap, he never puts his left arm on the center no matter what. If he does, he's going to dislocate his elbow because the Mike linebacker is going to get shoved into the center, and he's going to break the nose tackle's left arm.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
Yeah, turn his shoulders, right?
Yeah.
He has to turn his shoulders so that he has zero surface area so that it gives our linebacker something to hit, which is the center, and makes his departure easier because now he can arm under around the guard. He does not put his second arm in. Okay. If he puts the second arm in, he's only going to play a short time.
I had a question for you. We've run two stunts.
Yes, sir.
One was kind of a novelty. I'm just kind of curious if you've ever done it. And then there's one that we've tried to get to work, but we can't. Actually, two that we've,
okay.
I need to be coached up on. The first one is, this is kind of just a fun thing to do, but we called it high-low. And what we did was, and it was one of those things that when it was drawn up at first, I forgot who drew it up in our office, but everybody else went, huh? So basically, let's say you had a right-handed quarterback. The right side end from the defensive right runs an up and under to flush the quarterback. The left side end runs the hoop all the way around because the offensive tackles are taught just set them. Just let them run by. Yeah. Let them run by. So you use the rules against it. So he comes all the way around, and what ends up happening is, if it works correctly, the left side end will make the sack behind the other defensive end where he originally lined up, and so the left tackle on the right side from the defensive perspective. Have you ever done anything like that?
I've never done that one, but that would be to the boundary, too. You got to make sure that right-hander is sitting on the
right.
That's right.
It would have to be more of a pocket guy that you know that's not going to
– Sure.
But the whole coaching point is, you know, and this – we'll talk about this another time. But, you know, some schools are starting to run stuff where they purposely give up the edge out of like a three down, walk the backers up.
Oh, yeah.
Have the ends run up and under and have the backers contained. But you literally not containing from that side. You are pinching. It's almost like a pirate stunt. But instead of the nose looping around, it's the end looping around. But he's looping from behind the line of scrimmage. Like, he's coming all the way. You run the hoop, and you just run the
hoop. That's wild. Yeah. I love it.
There's two stunts.
Send it to me. I'd like to see it.
There's two stunts. One I want to kind of ask if you've done it, and if so, you know, do you like it? And then the second one I have, I need help with. It's terrible with, and if you don't run it, then don't worry about it. But the first one we called Watch Me, and basically what it does is the DNs have two-way goes, and they can either do it in the rush, or they make their decision before the ball snapped, or if they react off the tackle, say, okay, I'm going to beat him with speed, but if he oversets me, I'm going to come inside. So those DNs have two-way goes, and the inside guys are kind of not necessarily bull rushing, but inside rushing, and if color flashes across their face coming inside, then they loop outside. So it becomes a natural TE game if the end decides to come in. If not, it's a regular four-man rush. Have you ever run anything like that?
Yeah, I've run it. I've seen it a whole bunch of times. I think it's got to be a timing thing. I think it has to just be a law of no return. So what I would say is this, if I'm going to, because I am going to bull rush with that nose, it's going to get me in a better leverage position to get outside because I won't get as deep. I would say no more than four steps. So got to make your defensive end determinant by four steps, because after that, then what happens is you get that inside rusher becomes a watcher, not a rusher. He becomes like a you know what I mean? So they're both taking four steps, one, two, three, four in her head. If he sees a color flash, then he jumps back outside of it. The nose goes around it. If he doesn't see it, then he stays where he is. So I would say I would have to put parameters on it. I couldn't let it be just a loosey-goosey, run as many steps as you want. By four steps, that DE better come underneath or gone over the top. And that'll allow that nose tackle to be an active rusher. And on another point to that, one point that I really want to make, which is something I recently started to do, I think is very, very effective. Four-man rush, okay? And here comes the double. The double's working on the nose. And I'm sitting in my drills in my last 25 years of coaching or so, and I'm trying to have this guy beat the double. And every time he beats the double, he beats it out of his lane, and that's where the quarterback steps up. He throws the ball for a first down or runs for a first down. And right. I will not do that anymore. I vowed I won't do that anymore. So what happens, if I'm doubled right now, I'm just going to stay alive. I learned this with my nose tackle from last year. I'm going to push on that center, and I'm going to stay alive, and I'm not going to take any huge angles outside of my friggin' area. So that what's going to happen is when the quarterback does step up, I'm going to tackle his behind. Okay? So beating the double team is a bad idea if you beat him out of your lane. So if you beat him out of your lane, it's twice as bad as beating a normal player out of their lane, and that's where the quarterback's going to go. So that point to be made, my guys, when they get a double, a center guard double on a one technique nose or on a slanting nose to an A-gap, then we're going to work that thing, and we're going to stay alive. We're going to mirror the quarterback, and when he runs, we're going to tackle him. That's number one, okay? So that's a big issue. It's a huge issue, and it's something that we're going to get better at because, by God, we're going to get better at it. And we don't work it in practice because the head coach, that's me, is dumb. And he doesn't work it in practice. He just works beating one guy in practice all the time, one-on-ones and three-on-threes. Then we get double-teamed, and we're running to each jabib to try to get around the double, and we're creating our own headaches. So that's not going to happen anymore because before I die, I'm going to be effective that way. The second thing is to make sure when you give that guy a two-way go, it can't be a real late two-way go. You know, you can't let the defensive end get up the field and say, oh, you know what? I got beat on this outside technique because I was half-hearted, and now I may want to slide flat inside. That's not a game, okay? That's not a game. It's being defeated. So it better be a plan. I better go up and under or under and out. It better be a plan so that way that nose can get a definitive read, because if not, you're going to have two guys dancing with two guys, and I think that really – there has to be a penetrator one way or the other, right?
Right.
In college football. So make the penetrator somebody – if he doesn't have a move by four steps, you know what? He don't have one. Then he's just making one up as he goes along.
Well, I'm so happy you said that about the nose and the double team, because I met with a coach about 2 or 3 years ago, and he said by the end of his career, he told the nose – if you're getting the double, which most of the time you're going to get, especially if you know you're getting a big on big team where you're basically always going to get that double, that yep. he kind of sure. mush rush and become a quarterback spy, like you said.
Yep.
And the more athletic the quarterback, the less you'd even get upfield. Basically, by the center's eyes and the guard's eyes so they can't come off. But you're kind of just coming and act almost like you're head faking, like you're going to make a move, but you never make the move. And then by the time they realize, oh, yep. you're not doing anything, they can't go help. So I thought I was crazy. I just thought I was crazy. And I'm like, well, we're wasting a guy. But so I'm happy to hear you say that.
No, you're not crazy. And you know what? You do have to force the double, though. Like you have to force the double. So you have to get there at A gap and try to split that thing in your first three steps as hard as you possibly can. Commit that guard to double so he can't come off on any kind of blitz and backer. So he becomes a really, really weak B-gap guy. You know, you make him sell out and block you, you know, in his first couple steps. The quarterback ain't running yet anyway. But then I think you keep yourself in play. That way you don't negate any kind of defensive end linebacker blitzes on the outside of this stuff, you know. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to negate any of that. You want to make sure that that he has to double that nose. Because, and if he doesn't double him strongly, you're going to beat him. So try to beat the center, coach, would be my view. Try to beat him. Once you try to beat him and you feel two more hands on you, you lock it down. Now you become a spy player, a player who's going to do a great job of keeping the quarterback in the pocket so the sacks come. So,
yeah.
So you know what I mean? Don't give yourself up, because if you do, pretty soon it's going to be just really very easy pressure by the inside arm of the guard. He's going to be able to help work outside. You don't want him working outside. You know, you don't want the guard finding work. You want to make sure the guard is working on you.
So my last question before we get to the end is, when you're playing the RPOs, do you do any of these if games with the TEs and some of these things on the onto one side to try to gum up the zone, or some different things that you like to do versus that stuff?
We run the loopers away from the back, okay, when doing a lot of RPO stuff. And so what ends up happening is our penetrator, our cat who's going to penetrate, is going to be, if you think about it, away from the running back, and our looper, right, so that we get, so if we do get a zone situation, we get like a natural twist. Here's the thing with RPOs that I feel makes them very, very difficult, but also why you have to gap exchange on them, is because the quarterbacks are reading everybody but them. Right?
Right.
They're reading everybody but three techniques, right? They're reading everybody else, coach. But nobody's reading the freaking nose, and no one's reading the three techniques in general. Right? This is an option, right? Like pure option, right? So they're not doing that. So if that's the case, I want two players that have a fighting chance to get to the quarterback, even though their read tells them it's run. This all goes back to winning in your gap of origin. It all goes back to what I said the first 4 minutes of the podcast. So if I'm going to go arm under, right, and try to win, right, in a slant technique, a TT, for instance, so I'm a three technique and I'm a slant TE, and my nose tackle, right, is going to read first, which he's going a little bit, and then comes off that thing, he's still going to be a guy, at least a guy who can't let the long ball happen, right? He's not going to stop the stick. I mean, the stick's going to be gone and point nothing. But he is going to stop the long ball, because you're still going to get a picking action. The center's still going to get tied up because he doesn't know if it's run or not. And you're still going to get a nose tackle that's going to be a shuffle-type loop guy who's going to be in the face of the quarterback. And you don't get that if you don't slant him, if you don't stun him. Because what you get is some great players playing the run great and never getting off to the quarterback. So in my view, if we don't gap exchange on RPOs inside, then we're not going to ever get any inside heat. We're just going to play. It's going to be run, and we're never going to get off. Is that logical, that philosophy?
Yes, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So we're going to get that twisting action. We're going to send the nose away, bring the three underneath. We're going to do all those things because to them, I at least have a penetrator. A non-reading penetrator, because penetrators don't read, right? Penetrators don't read. They just go. Loop guys read. And it's not a problem for my loop guy to be on the right side of the center, get a great penetrator from the left, hit that thing, come off looking for run, right? And then he pulls it, he runs to the quarterback. At least it gives me somebody that calls that guy, to be honest, that ball's got to be out. You know, he can't just sit there and pass the ball and run a post, you know? at least we hope he can. So against RPOs, I believe gap exchange inside in those A and B gaps are going to be defining factors to not getting the ball beat down the field. Now, one step further, man coverage in RPOs is the way to go. I mean, if you got men, right? I mean, if you got men, RPO is the way to go. Well, I don't want my man out there on post corners. So I better get an inside rusher, right, to the quarterback late, because I don't want post corners against man protection, man defenders. Is that logical? Is that that point of
right.
view?
No, that makes perfect sense.
You know what I'm saying? So if I'm going to man it up, if I'm going to take that stuff away because I got you and I got you and I got you, I better get some twisting action inside so I get some free rushers coming off those play fakes so the quarterback at least has to, you know, get the ball and elevate the throw. So I'm going to get somebody in his face up the pipe. The outside stuff really is kind of irrelevant to those guys, you know, because they're not, right? They're not throwing a ball. They're not throwing a ball deep Well, sometimes deep outside, but sometimes it's deep, you know, inside, you know. It's thick post or whatever they run. So that's what I kind of feel about that. So the twist is kind of important. One note, too. Something that's a question I'll be asked a lot is, how do you define – this is a good one, Coach. This one you might want to put up, like, on a board somewhere. How do you define a slide protector compared to a down blocker? So a pass, a tackle who's sliding away into the B gap, that look compared to a down block. Because in Lackawanna, if I get a defender sliding in the B gap, I take a step, I hit him, and I get outside, the most outside back, because that is a slide protection, right? A full slide, right, with the back. If he gains ground on me, if I step my inside hand out of my stance and he hits it, that means it's a down block and I'm shoving and closing. How many guys have chased offensive tackles inside on slide protection and been outdistanced on the slide by the running back who pins him? How many times has that happened?
It's happened
4 billion times. And here's why it happens, Coach, Chris, because they're not reading the angle of departure of the OT. They see a down block the same as a shuffle inside to take the B gap away. And people who slide protect don't down block. Okay? They don't gain ground. They shuffle, because if they gain ground, a backer is going to run by them. So I look at that OT, and if that step is a flat step, I punch him with my inside hand, and I work outside the most outside back, which is a win for a defensive end in that scheme. And if I see a 45-degree angle where my arm, I feel that pain in my arm because I'm locking him out, that's a down block, and I shove him close. Now, shove him close to me, to get back to the run part of this, unless you have a question more about that one.
No, go ahead.
That's good. That's a pretty good thing. And that's an easy drill, right? OT, D end, running back, right? Down block, shove, close, right? Or shuffle, punch, outside of most outside back. It's an easy drill, but boy, it saved our tail a lot of times over the years, for sure. Because we don't chase guys who aren't blocking us, right? We don't do that. We don't tend to chase those guys. When I shove them close, we wrong arm. And that's such a terrible term and such a antiquated term. But if I'm a three technique and I get a down block by that guard into the A gap, either blocking a nose in a 40 or a Mike in it, you know, or anybody he's going to block, I shove, close. But we wrong arm, it's wrong arm and up, wrong arm and up, which means I take my outside arm in a situation, and when I hit that guard, whoever is going to block me, right, on power or whatever, I am going to work up the field. I want to create a bubble. I want to bubble the guard so that there's some depth, because that takes away all cutbacks. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense? That's a pretty cool one, right? So instead of, you know, when you wrong arm, when guys will shove close and they get too flat, and they get so damn flat underneath the guard just logs them, right? And then, lo and behold, the running back cuts back to the front side A gap, and you're in the wrong A gap. So what we do is we wrong arm it, and we wrong arm and up. So when we rip and we rip up the field, we create that bubble. What happens? It creates like a little half wall, and that half wall does not allow cutbacks to occur.
Yeah, we call that stack and press.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it. That's better than mine. So if we stack and press them, right, and we get that depth, we cause no cutback to occur, right? And now we make the ball go into basically an on-block player, okay?
Uh-huh.
A secondary player, a safety, or a mic, or somebody who's on block. So that's the way we do it that way. We don't spill it and let ourselves get washed on the spill so far inside that we end up giving away our gap of responsibility.
Right.
It is the same token, right? If that makes any sense at all.
Oh, no, that's the first thing that we talk about. The first day of first.
Yep.
And I usually go with the D-line for a 5-10 minute period. We just talk about our entire defense. We don't box anything. And I know that's not popular now in 2019. We will box double-edged pressures in man. We will box if we're slanting the entire line and bringing two off an edge. We will also box and bring in a double A gaps or inside, bringing two guys in inside pressures, cover zero, we'll box.
Right.
Anything else, We are a block down, step down, and we say you're going to stack inside the guy and you're going to press up field. And I can't take responsibility for that as Patrick Walsh. So
nice. Tell Patrick Walsh nice. That, you know, because then we don't get overran. You know, we are a slant angle football team. Okay, we are 3-3 slant angle. So we read the guard. So our nose tackles read guards, our tackles read guards, our ends read guards. We all read guards. And so if somebody zones to us, in other words, we open step first, and if somebody zones to us, then we play that thing like a regular reach, right? But when that thing goes away, coach, when that baby goes away, and it is a pull by that guard, we open step and we run. And the first color we see, coach, we don't care if it is a back, a Y, a Z. We don't care who it is. When it comes back to us, we are going to take our outside shoulder, rip through his inside pec, and get up the damn field, no matter what. Because that takes away half of the football field. Yep. And we're going to do that no matter what happens. And the kids who don't do that, you know, don't understand the concept that we're trying to create. If we don't get a shove and we get pure guards and tackles running and destroying mics and noses, it doesn't matter how good the player is, the three technique is or five is, he won't make it because there's no inside wall. We're going to get a shove. And we're not going to get the kind of shove, coach, that makes them go faster. We're going to make them want to go slower. The inside arm, elbow in, thumb up, arm extension shove, right? We're going to get that one. We're not going to get pat them on the shoulder pad, make them go faster show. We don't do that. So that's really, really important to our entire defense. You know, we get these guys right now, I get defensive ends, fast, great athletes. But they're out there in these wide-ass, almost six techniques on tackles. The tackles are running down inside and literally just decapitating Mike linebackers. And so we will split their crotch with our inside foot. And as God is my witness, if we don't get friction on that OT, I'm getting mad. Ain't even August.
I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad to hear a college coach, because you're in junior college, but you are playing college football. One of the, and we didn't talk about this, but you're ranked consistently in the top 10 in the country. This is big boy ball.
There'll be 21 Division I guys on the field when we play.
Well, I am so happy to hear somebody that's playing this style of football tell me that, because I think some people look at me when I talk about frictioning the tackles and these things, and they're like, yeah, it's not 1996 anymore, bro. You need to, you know, you need to get with the, you need to get with the program. And I'm like, that stuff is, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt. Like, boxing to a three technique, okay. I'm not a, you know, whatever. Yep. We'll do it, but
sure.
If that guy's doing that to the one technique side, I'm losing my mind.
Crazy, coach. Just think about it for a second. It really just, you know, in football, the whole idea is to make sure that you break the will of the person you play against. If he wants to go to the left, you don't want to let him go to the left. If he wants to go to the right, you don't let him go to the right. Why would you let a 300-pound man take five steps at 100 miles an hour and hit a linebacker? Three things happen. First, the linebacker starts cheating up, takes away all his range completely because he's afraid of getting hit. Or he backs up so much, he can't play the gap in front of him. Or the nose tackle starts to say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to hold it. I'll talk about double teams. Don't let me forget about this, too, by the way. This is something, a pet peeve for a long time. But anyway, so here comes a guard down on a nose tackle, and the damn three technique doesn't touch him. He removes the nose tackle, right? Because he can't take him back where he came from because he has so much. He removes him, and now the three technique is chasing, not catching. And chasers sit on benches, and catchers play. Okay, so he's a catcher because he's made the gap absolutely too big. That's number one. So, and to me, coach, to be very honest with you, what excuses do you have not to hit the OT? He's supposed to be coming off his inside foot. He's supposed to be gap foot up. His inside arm is supposed to hit him. How can he miss him? If that is his technique, if a five technique is an inside foot, inside hand technique, how could he miss him? He only misses him if he wants to miss him, in which case he's going to play for somebody else because we don't really believe in 300-pound guys beating the crap out of backers.
Well, you just look at him and go, do you hate winning? Is that what it is? You just don't,
you don't
like winning?
You don't want to win?
You hate winning?
Coach, it's do you want to make the tackle or the play?
Yeah,
if you want to make the play, you're going to go to the SEC. If you want to go to tackle, you're not going to play college football, right? Because we're all going to tackle them. The defense is going to tackle them. The scheme is going to tackle them. We're all going to tackle them, not you. Okay? You'll have your chance, right? You'll be the penetrator. You'll be the looper. You'll be the guy. But if you don't keep guys off them, nobody's going to make the tackle. I want to make the play. And you'll see my guys spin around. We shove them close. And my big old fellas will run over to that shove and close guy, right? And they'll be hugging him. The linebacker made the tackle, but the damn three technique made the play. And that's what we do here. We have a firm belief in it, and that's why it's, you know, I mean, we'll lose sometimes, but we'll win more often than not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for our purposes, we have to understand that as a defensive football team. We got a friction. Anybody who goes across our face, no
right.
matter what,
absolutely. You know,
he's going there for a reason. We want to get a hand on him, and we want to slow his butt down. Double teams. Last point I got. Everybody plays double teams. Guys are trying to come off them different. Coach Pardini's going to do a little something different in his double. He's going to try to do it a little differently this year. He's not going to lever it off. He's going to play a little differently. But the bottom line is this. Oh, and lag. Don't let me forget lag. So a double team, to me, okay, is a matter of making sure that you have no surface area on a second blocker. Okay? So if I'm a three technique and the ball is snapped and that offensive guard puts his head basically right down the middle of me, he takes 33% of me or more. He takes 66% of me and the guard takes 33% of me, right? I am going to work just one player. I'm going to weather the storm, coach. Weather the storm, which means I am not going to take a knee, but I am going to lock out and drop down and get as low as I possibly can and just work one guy and hang in there for a second. Now, if I grab with my outside arm where the double team is coming, it's a lot easier for me to hold onto my contact and not get driven across the face of the inside player, if that makes sense. So I'm going to make sure that my outside arm is going to grab that shoulder pad as hard as I can because that's my weather in a storm. That's me holding on during a tornado, right? I'm going to hold on. Then, inevitably, that guy is going to leave, right? That guard has to leave and go get a backer. And then I am going to continue to rip low to high, never high to low, because I just don't believe in losing my weight. I'm going to use the body weight of that offensive lineman to keep me on the ground. And I'm going to go low to high. I'm going to try to win my gap, put my face in my gap. My face is not going to my gap initially. It does me no good. The ball is 20 feet away. How many young guys do you see win their gap by taking their face and putting their face in their gap and having their arms not straight in front of them? And who can bench press with the weight to your left or right? Okay, you're a lot stronger if your hands are in front of you and what you're pushing on is in front of you. So we weather the storm. We don't give up one for one. We don't hit the ground. We don't turn our hips into the double because we don't do it. Some people do. Coach Johnson does from Ohio State. He's smarter than I am. But I don't turn my hips into the double because I want to be square because I want to be an active member of somebody who's going to try to tackle the guy with the ball. Right?
Right.
That's what I do. That's what I firmly believe. Weather the storm and we rip off. Our drill is simple. Three guys in the drill. Two guys fit the double already. So I got one of my defensive tackles is fitting on my nose. The other one has his hand on the hip of the nose. We blow the whistle. They both try to push him off the ball. On the second whistle, one of them leaves and he rips through the opposite player. It's an easy drill, right? And it simulates it. And we make them go hard. We make them bend and go hard. Why a fit position? Because if I didn't put him in a fit, coach, it would be like a blind drunk out there. It wouldn't work. We have to have them in the fit position first so that they know where they are in juxtaposition to each other. Okay? So we fit it. We blow the whistle. We have them push them off. They weather the storm. They haul on the one. They rip off the one. Shuffle, shuffle after the rip off so they're square. And that's how we play double teams. All of our double teams. No matter what. No matter against who. And if you work that skill day in, day out, our guys get pretty damn good at it. And you know most doubles are ill-fit. You know that. Most doubles are ill-fit. The guard's late.
Right.
The guard turns. They're ill-fit. So we get ill-fit doubles, and we don't split them because he leaves. So it's not technically a split, but we have our face in our gap of origin when the ball comes. Now, it's not in a gap of origin when the ball's not there, but it does when the ball gets there. Because it takes us a little while to get there. And I firmly believe that is the way that we do it. Now, we get a whole bunch of big, strong guards to play against us, centers and tackles, and they go all over the country, and they're big and strong, and we're big and strong. But we will weather the storm, Coach. We will not give up our gap, no matter what. And then when it comes time to rip off, we're going to rip off. But we rip off in practice. We don't rip off just in the game, right? We rip off in that drill in practice. Our combo period is 2-on-1 with no linebacker behind it. And they work on our single guy a lot. And he just hangs and tough. He's tough. He hangs. And he doesn't get removed. And what happens is we get great fits off that thing and great inside-out pressure on running backs. Now, I don't want to belabor that point, but that is a hell of a drill. But you've got to see who's tough and who's not, you know. I mean, obviously. But it's a good drill.
So, Coach, you mentioned the infamous lag technique. Take us through how you do that.
Lag. How would you like to have a center and a guard, right, both believe they have pluses on a zone out, on a zone play, inside or outside zone play, and you make the tackle? So here's what I believe in lag. There we go. Nose tackle. He's a nose tackle, and we're going to get a little bit of depth, Coach, because we don't believe we can two-gap anybody from 4 inches away from the ball. We don't believe it. We don't believe our feet can match their feet because it's too close, so we get a little bit of depth. All right? And so now we read the head of the center. The center goes to our left. We start to lock out the center to our left like we're two-gapping, trying to win that front side gap, okay? After two or three steps, once we start to get – we get overtaken. But, Coach, as we get overtaken, we throw the center off of us. We throw him. We twist him. We don't just leave. We throw him off of us and work backside. Now, as those first two or three steps happen, that backside guard on the zone sees no color. If he sees no color, Coach, what does he have to do? He's got to work second level. He's got to go second level. He sees no color on the nose because the center's winning. When the center's winning on the nose, the guard doesn't take him. So the center starts winning on the nose. The guard isn't going to overtake. He sees no color. So he works to the back, to the linebacker. The linebacker now sprints across the field to the front side A gap. The nose tackle, who has thrown the center, taking him off balance to work when he tries to work the backer, works back to the guard, who, by the way, isn't there. He is chasing a linebacker across the field because, right, the center is staying on the nose.
Right.
It's a lag technique. Okay, so we lag. So ball snap, set, hut. Here comes outside zone to our left. Center starts working. He's working, Coach, like his life depends on it. The center says, damn, this center's staying on me. Shit, man, the guard's thinking, I took three steps, which is the common teaching tool. I take three steps. I can't get to this nose. This nose is working the front side of this play. I got to do the second best thing, work on the backer, try to push the backer wide, cut back, right? But the nose is now going to come off this center. He is going to rip as hard as he possibly can, and the technique is kind of like throwing a bale of hay. He's going to grab the center as the center is working into that gap, and now he's going to accelerate the center's feet to the gap where the center wants to go, right? He's going to accelerate his feet. So the center wins. Now the center is the happiest guy at the fair because he feels he just reached the nose.
Yeah, I just won.
Right? He is thrilled. He's thrilled. Okay? He is thrilled. However, the problem he has is this. He just got thrown sideways after he'd been working on the nose, and the backer just beat him over the top to the front side, and the guard is already passed, and the nose is working the cutback. And lo and behold, the running back sees a backer who beats a center who's basically tangled up with himself because of what he just did, and he breaks back into an unblocked nose. Ugh.
That's awesome.
They come off the field. Their offensive line coach says, Jesus Christ, what are you doing? So what do you mean, Coach? I just blocked a nose by myself in the zone. That is like I should go to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's checking Twitter to see if he got any offers while he was on the field.
Boy, did you see that one? I'm going to get 7 Big 5 Power 5 offers from this one. So he's pumped, and he blocked him, and now my guy flips him off, goes back underneath. The guard's already gone, sits there. The running back sees his backer beating a center over the top because the center has just come off of our nose tackle, so he's not in a good demeanor, okay?
Right.
He can't be in a good demeanor because he's just coming off a really hard block, and he thinks he has him reached. And sometimes he'll just turn his shoulders and literally be in a turn shoulder demeanor because after he reaches him, he thinks, well, I'm just going to make sure he doesn't come back. So I'm just going to reach him and hold. I'm going to basically, you know, I'm going to door him. I'm going to gate him. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm going to flip my hips and gate him. So he gates him, and now he's facing the sideline, and the linebacker beats him very, very easily because his feet are in the wrong place. Linebacker runs over the top, back sees the linebacker, back's a smart guy. Bull crap, I'm not having that Mike tackle me. I plant, I come back, and there's a nose tackle standing there on block. Then right. The next play comes, Coach, and guess what we do? We play front side. So now, this time we go front side. So it's not lag. This side, it's just regular, so he's going to play the front side. Now the center's like, damn, you know, is this nose going to come back off me?
Yeah.
So the guard's thinking, the guard's thinking, well, the nose is right there again. It's all the same as it was again, but this time I'll stay back. Right? I'll stay back. So he stays back. The nose works front side, and the guard fits in on the backside, and the guard's kind of in that non-committal place you are when you're trying to get off a guy or stay on a guy. So now I get these 300-pound men who are very, very timid. They're timid because they don't really truly know who to block and when to get off and when not to get off. They can't count to three. They can't say off, off, off. It looks to them – Coach told me since I was 18 years old, if there's no color on that nose tackle, work second level. And they work second level, and then the color appears behind them, and they're in a world of hurt because they think they're getting pluses and they're getting no yards, and you're talking people out of zone. That's lag. Lag can be worked very easily. Four people in the drill. Actually, five people drill. Guard, center, a running back, just for fun, right? A running back. And a linebacker and the nose tackle in front of him, and we lag it 1 and 2. We let our nose tackles do it. We firmly believe that they got a better feel for what the center's doing. And this is anybody's football team, Coach. You know, I like to, you know, everybody in the world likes to lag the center back to the boundary more so, if that's the case, because it's less distance.
Yeah.
And they like to send the backer over the top, but they can read it. So it goes either way, and they change it up. So,
well, that was going to be my next question, where you know, we're playing the tight front, the mint front, whatever you want to call it, the 4I, 0-4I, where you're backer to the back. But the thing that I mean, there's a lot of advantages to the front. There's a lot of disadvantages. But the whole reason that I even thought about playing it was because if you lag the nose to the back, your 4I takes the B gap. Your backer to the back can now be the quarterback player, and you do not have to get the overhang involved. So my question to you is going to be, when you're playing shotgun zone read teams and then without a tight end,
right,
10 personnel looks, and it doesn't necessarily mean it has to be 10 personnel, but 10 personnel looks.
Okay.
Are you telling that center, hey, like we tell our guy, you're lagging to the back. So he's going to act like he's doing what all the things that you just said, but he's not really reading
right.
It because we'll see some power and some stuff, but if we see counter, we actually want him to get back to the side of the back is going to, so it works
right.
out.
You're absolutely correct.
My question is, how are you telling that? Yeah. Are you telling that nose, hey, listen, try to win the front side, try to get that guy to commit, but you're going to fall back to the side of the back?
Yeah, we're telling him. So we're making him understand where the back is and where, you know what I mean? So he knows.
Right.
And so he'll tell the, and he'll also, so, and one thing, another thing, coaches, I don't want slow guys trying to run fast. And I don't want fast guys that have to run slow. So I always want to look at that field. There's lines on that baby for a reason now, right? They put those lines out there. That wasn't just like somebody decided to draw lines. And so I want to say, if I'm going to two gap a cat, right? If I'm not going to lag it, I'm going to two gap a cat and the back's away. And they're zoning to the boundary. I'm okay with that,
right?
Because I could probably sit there and do a great job front side, and I could probably win front side, or at least do enough job to make it nice and skinny. But I don't like the idea of trying to win to the backside, you know, to the open end side, to the big field side, you know, because then I'm just going to run out of legs. And so
right.
we try not to put our players in bad positions, you know, based on their athletic acumen. I don't want to have them do things they can't do. I want to try to make them do things they can do, and that builds their confidence and makes them better football players. So we're going to make sure that, you know, we know if we're a plow horse or a thoroughbred, and we're going to make sure we do it that way. But it's a fascinating technique because it's it's hard to read. If you watch it on film, and I'll send you some more stuff if you ever want to see it, you won't know if he lagged or not. You really won't. You won't know. I mean, and you're obviously could have looked at a million feet of tape, but you can't tell because you're watching a kid, and he looks like he's working his bejesus off over there. And then all of a sudden, you see him like, you'll see it real subtle. You see him like flip the center back. Like you'll see him flip off the center, and you'll think, why is he? Like, it'll look like a real late back door, Coach, right? You know what I mean?
Right.
It'll look like a real late back door. But if you look second level, you see a linebacker who's beelining it, right, to get over the top of it. So they say, wait a minute, that's not a late back door, right? That's a late back door. He wasn't late and went underneath.
Right.
He went underneath the purpose to go back underneath because it was coordinated second.
I spoke with Tosh Lapoy last year when he was at Alabama as the defensive coordinator, and he said to me, he was teaching me the lag because it was new to me last year, and he said the perfect lag technique to me is you are mashing that guy, mashing him, staying on him, almost like nose to nose, and then at the last second, you fall back because, you know, the worry is the reason the tight front's great is because you're trying to occupy five blockers with three people. That's one of the benefits. If you lag too fast or slant without blitzing, basically try and slant that guy, he says they're going to climb and just making them stay. Or like you said, the guard coming off, then you're falling back. But if you slant too quickly and that guard can get to you and that center climbs, that's the number one no-no. It goes back to the whole bear thing. The number one thing with the bear was don't allow the jump through. That was what Rex Ryan always used to say.
No matter what. Yeah, nobody's silhouette gets through in its entirety. There should be no human being that you can watch film on and see his silhouette. If you do, you're wrong.
Right. All right, Coach. And at the end of every podcast, I ask the same question because I like to get a little flavor on the coach's personality. We've been talking for a while. I'm pretty sure I got a great flavor of your personality, but I'm still going to ask the question anyway. So here goes.
Sure.
It's the national championship. It's 4th and 9 from the 35-yard line going in. Okay, there's 12 seconds on the clock, and you're up by 2. The opposing kicker is awesome, and if they get this first down, again, it's 4th and 9, they get the first down, it's more than likely they're going to kick the field goal and win the game. They're going to get into a 10-personnel look, and they're going to pass, obviously being 4th and 9, and they like to throw something around the sticks. It doesn't mean they're going to run all curl or anything like that, but they're not trying to get some chunk. They're just trying to get the first. They're going to try and kick that ball in and win the game. So, with that being said, 4th and 9, 35 going in, what – you got one call. What is it going to be?
I guess what defense we're – let's just say we're in a 40, just to say we're in a 40.
Anything you want.
Yeah, anything we want. I would obviously man up all four of them, right? To me, you have to know who's out there because somebody probably caught 13 balls on you.
Right. This is just all things being equal. There's not one guy that's like, this is their stud, and not completely equal, but there's nobody that you're like, we got to stop this guy. There's not like a go-to guy.
Sure. Man them all up, right? Take both two outside backers that we have, all right? One is gonna double the first one right at the sticks, so it'd be like the inside number 2 to the right, right? We're going to take the safety who's supposed to be in a hole, and we're going to bring him up on a line of scrimmage outside of the defensive end. The defensive end is going to bull rush the friggin' OT, okay? Bull rush the OT, and the defensive end is going to rush the passer, right, from, right, a 7 technique outside of it. He is going to rush the passer outside, just speed rush, just rush as fast as possible we can, okay? So we want the ball out of there as quickly as possible. Safeties run faster than linemen. We send safeties here a lot, Coach, but a lot faster. He's going to go to the quarterback as fast as he possibly can. He can't outrun the safety. He runs too fast. He's going to throw the ball right now. Hopefully he gets 9 and we win.
I love it. Love it, Coach. Thank you so much for doing this. I've learned a ton of information. I think the listeners are going to love this. I loved your energy. Love the passion you have that shines through. Before I let you go, give us your Twitter handle. Give us your pitch on Lackawanna College.
Well, you know, Lackawanna College has been playing football for 27 years, and I've been fortunate to be their coach for 27. I think that we are a great institution We are small. We have 1,200 students, but we are a huge football program as far as wins and losses and sending people off to school. Environment's awesome. Dorm is awesome. Coaches who care about football and care about the kids who play it. So if you want to come someplace and give yourself an opportunity to get to a really high level, you couldn't pick a better spot to go to. You're going to come here, you're going to work your tail off, but at the end of the day, you're going to have an opportunity to go somewhere else.
Love it. And give that Twitter handle for me.
I wish I knew it, Coach. It's
all good. I got you. At MarkDuda73. That's at MarkDuda73. And also, what also makes Lackawanna great is it's home to the man, the myth, the legend, Ray Dayton. Thank you, Coach. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as 3 free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.